Well, good morning. If we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Erica, and I'm the summer intern this year at Oceanside Community Church. I've spent my summer working alongside Thomas and Ellie, helping out with youth, Bible day camp, and kids' church. First of all, I would like to say a huge thank you for letting me and welcoming me into your church and letting me work with your kids. It's been a really special summer. And a special thanks to the staff who I've worked alongside with, Joseph, Paul, Marcello, Steph, Thomas, and Ellie. You guys have been really great to me, so thank you. With this internship, I've been given the opportunity to speak to you today, which unfortunately is my last Sunday before I go back to school. I go to a Bible college on the mainland called Summit Pacific College, where I just finished my first year. When I found out what I was going to be speaking on, I felt really nervous, and it all felt so real. I, an 18-year-old girl, is going to be speaking about Jesus to a group of adults who know way more than I do. It was very humbling. I've prayed over this message a lot, and as nervous as I am standing in front of you today, I'm excited to share God's word. The past few weeks, we have been in a series called Acts of the Spirit, where we've talked about the Holy Spirit's movements in the book of Acts. This week, we're going to be talking about Saul's conversion. I'm going to be speaking on Acts 9, 1 to 19, so if you're able to, I would invite you to stand with me as I read God's word. And there's a shelf at the entrance of the sanctuary with Bibles. They're there for you to use. If you don't have a Bible, you are welcome to keep it as a gift from the church. Let's read together. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether man or woman, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by hand into Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," said Ananias, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go. This man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show them how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up, and he was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. Thank you. You may be seated. There are two people that I want to focus on today from this story, and that is Saul and Ananias. I found that this passage really shows the power of the Holy Spirit working through both Saul and Ananias. Saul was this guy who hated Jesus and was arresting all those who were involved with him, but Jesus had a plan for Saul, who would eventually become to know as Paul, who we commonly know as the Apostle Paul. Jesus called Ananias to go and pray over Saul, heal him, and fill him with the Holy Spirit. At first, Ananias didn't want to because Saul seemed too far gone, not the right type of person fit to serve. After hesitating, Ananias obeyed God and filled Saul with the Holy Spirit and healed him. Saul then spent many days with the disciples and got baptized, starting him on the path to become a faithful follower of Christ. Some of the people in this room right now might relate to Saul. Just like Saul, you may feel far from Christ. Maybe you feel like the lifestyle you live, because of that, it's impossible for you to fully serve Christ. I have a question for all the Sauls in the room right now. Is he trying to get your attention? Is God trying to directly speak you to you or through others? Maybe some of you consider yourself a Christian, but have fallen away from God. Some of you might not consider yourself a Christian at all and know nothing about Jesus, so you think that God won't reach you. I want to stop that lie right now. Jesus is calling out to you. No matter how far you've gone, Jesus is calling you back. Saul was persecuting Christians, imprisoning them, and killing them, all because he had a deep hate for Jesus. How crazy is it that God can save a guy like Saul? Once Saul encountered Jesus, Saul accepted the invitation of the Holy Spirit to work in his life. Are we going to be like Saul and accept that invitation of the Holy Spirit as well? When we talk about Saul's conversion, we focus on Saul and how the Spirit worked in his life, as well as how God loved him and accepted him despite his sin. The story is just like the story of the prodigal son found in Luke 15. It's about two sons. The youngest son asks for a share of the father's inheritance early, leaves home, and wastes all his money on his own indulgence to the point where he's starving so much pig's food, which is like compost, looks good to him. He went back home with the intention to request to become one of his father's servants. But when his father saw him, he welcomed him home in loving arms and threw a huge party because his lost son was now found. But at the end of the story, the older son was not happy about this. When he saw what was going on, the older son had been working hard for so many years, yet his father never threw him a celebration. The reason I bring up this scripture is because when we talk about this story, we focus on the younger brother who left and came back. When we learn about that, it's helpful, it's insightful, and it's a good lesson about God's unconditional love, but a lot of the time we fail to look at the older brother and his attitude towards everything. In the same way, we often focus on what happened to Saul in this story, and we fail to look at Ananias and his attitude. I believe in this room we can either relate to Saul or Ananias, the younger or the older son. Just like Saul, we might be walking with Christ. We may feel unreachable by God because of our sinful lifestyle. Or just like Ananias, we walk close to God, but as soon as we see someone who's too far gone to be reached by Jesus, we doubt God's plan. Not all of us relate to Saul. We're walking close with God in faith just like Ananias, but there's something I want to focus in on the scripture that makes me feel like some of us relate to Ananias. And then after the Lord called to Ananias to go to Saul, Ananias said something that surprised me. He said, "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to arrest all those who call on your name." You may be wondering what I'm trying to point out in this piece of scripture, and after reading it a couple times, there was something that really stood out to me. When the Lord reached out to Ananias about Saul, Ananias immediately doubted God. He told God about the things that Saul has done, acting as if God didn't know this already. Ananias felt fear. He didn't want to go to Saul because he was scared that he would hurt him, because that's what he's been doing to all the Christians. Ananias doubted God's power and calling because he felt that Saul was too dangerous, unreachable, and too far gone. Now, I don't know about you, but I relate to Ananias sometimes, and this is something that I'm not very proud of. But sometimes when God calls me into a place I would never choose to go to or do, my human sinful nature immediately shuts down on God and doubts God's plan. When we're doing this, we're denying the power of God. In my first year at college, I took a program called the Omega Program. Omega is a one-year discipleship certificate program at Summit Pacific College, where you have the experience and opportunity to train and spend time in devotion all year and finish the year off with a three-week missions trip. A few months ago, I was in Colombia for this missions trip with Omega, and nearing the end of our missions trip with my Omega team, we were with another Omega team working, and we put on a concert. This was a public worship concert. That anybody could come to, so we invited everybody that we saw, and we had the opportunity to pray for people at the end. So the night came to a close, and lots of people had left to go home, but that's when I noticed this teenage guy sitting in the corner, wearing all black with a toucan, staring at the ground. I'd asked around to see if anyone had noticed him, because everyone else was in the front, eager to be prayed for, and eager to receive God's word. I felt God put on my heart for me to go and pray for this guy, but I didn't want to. I felt scared. It was this random guy trying not to be seen, who doesn't understand English, who doesn't even look like they want to be there. I tried to find a translator to go with me so we could understand what I was saying, but all the translators were busy, so I wanted to wait until one of the translators were free. But I told God to tell me to go now, and I really did not want to. Honestly, I was scared of the teenage guy, and I don't know about you, but I find teenagers scary, even though I am one. I was coming up with excuses in my head, like I had never been in this country before, there's a huge language barrier, I didn't think he would care or understand anything I said, so I didn't see a point of me going to pray for this guy. I doubted God. When he called me to pray for that guy, I hesitated just like Ananias and said no, but just like Ananias, God persisted and I eventually obeyed him. I brought my friend Ben with me because I didn't want to go alone. I asked him if there's anything I could pray for him, and somehow he understood and responded in Spanish, and then somehow I understood Spanish, even though I didn't never took Spanish in high school. I asked if I could pray for him, and he nodded his head yes. I didn't know why God wanted me to pray for this guy. He didn't seem like he'd care, so honestly, I didn't think God would use him in any way because he seemed so far from God, just like Saul. My friends and I were able to put our hands on him, on his shoulders, and I started praying. I let the Spirit guide me for what to pray for because I had no idea what to pray for, and I had never done anything like this before. But I felt the Holy Spirit working. I started praying for him in English. He sat there with his eyes closed, probably not understanding a word that I was saying, but I continued to pray, and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit put things on my heart to pray for, so I was praying over him and over his family. I was just spilling out in prayer, letting the Holy Spirit control me. The boy I was praying for, he started crying, as if he understood what I was saying or he felt God's peace fill him. I finished my prayer, and at this point, all three of us were crying. I gave the guy a hug and encouraged him one more time before leaving because I felt the Holy Spirit tell me that I had done what I was supposed to do, and now it was time for God to work in him. So Ben and I, we walked away both crying, and I said to Ben, I don't know why I feel this way, but even though he doesn't understand English and I don't know Spanish, I think he knew what I was praying for. And Ben looked at me and he said something that I'll never forget. He said, Erica, when you were praying, you were not speaking English. It sounded like Spanish. I watched as you pray over that guy and he understood every single word that came out of your mouth. I did not understand anything, but I felt the Holy Spirit moving. I've been praying for this guy ever since because I know God changed him that day. I felt God call me to pray for him, but I didn't want to go just like Ananias. I doubted that God had a specific plan for this guy. The guy doubted because of who he was and what he looked like, just like Ananias doubted Saul. But just like Ananias, I obeyed God and what he was calling me to do despite my doubts. And because of that, the Holy Spirit worked in miraculous ways. Similar to how the Holy Spirit worked in miraculous ways despite Ananias' hesitations and doubts. When we hear God call us into something we're scared of, we doubt God's power and we say no. We need to be like Ananias, not the first part where he doubts God, but where he eventually walks in faith and does exactly what God calls him to do. He calls us to something for many reasons, and we make a lot of excuses. We believe that they're too far gone, they're not good enough, and we don't see how God has a purpose for them, just like how Ananias felt when God called him to go to Saul. So I have a question for my Ananiases out there, those who have been called by God and have doubted. Have you ever been called to do something by God and you've disobeyed and said no? Can I challenge you today to obey God when he calls you, even when it's hard, even when we don't want to, because God is going to use that in amazing ways, not because of us, but because of the Holy Spirit through us. I feel that the Lord is speaking to you today through this text. And to my souls out there, people who feel far and unreachable from God, walk back to God in faith, accept the Holy Spirit in your life again, or maybe for the first time. To my Ananiases out there, be bold in faith and obey what God has called you to do, even when you don't understand or doubt that the person God is calling you to. Saul became one of the greatest apostles of all time, and if Ananias didn't obey God, it could have gotten the way of some big plans that God had. So I encourage you to obey what God has called you to do, to walk into the unknown in faith that God is with you and he's going to use you, and be open to the fact that God can reach you and others wherever you're at. I would really love to pray over you, but just again, I want to say thank you again so much for having me this summer. You guys made me feel so welcome, and like this was my home church. So thank you guys all so much for having me. But I would really like to pray with you to close my time here. Dear God, thank you so much for your heart, and thank you for the love and care you show despite our sins that we make. Thank you for Saul and Ananias, God. I pray that you would just continue to work in our hearts and fill us with the Holy Spirit, just like you did with Saul and Ananias. Thank you for everyone in this church. I pray that you would bless them as we go along with the rest of the year. And we thank you for this beautiful Sunday. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and hope you have a wonderful Sunday.